ಜಯ ಗೋಪೀಜನಗಿರಿವಾರಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪೀಜನಗಿರಿವಾರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋರಾನಂದನ ಗಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಜಯ ರಾಧ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವಾರಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನ ಬಾಲವ ಗಿರಿವಾರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಭಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋರನಂದನ ಭಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಜಮುನ ಚಿರ ವನಚರಿ ಯಮುನ ಚಿರ ವನಚರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನ ಬಾಲವ ಗಿರಿವಾರಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನ ಬಾಲವ ಗಿರಿವಾರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋರಾನಂದನ ಭಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋರಾನಂದನ ಭಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನ ತೀರ ವನಚರಿ ಯಮುನ ತೀರ ವನಚರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ
ಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಸ್ತೋತ್ತರ ಸತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಮಾಧೀಸ್ ದಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಶಿಲ್ ಎ ಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿನಂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ್ ಗೋರ್ ಪ್ರೇಮಂದಿ ಹರಿ ಓ Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 16, text number 26 and 27. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, this is verse number 27 in the board. So I'll read number 26 first.
Tatra tatra girastasta iti vishruta vikramaha srosyatyatmashritagata prittu prittu parakramaha.
Translation. In this way, when the chivalrous activities of King Prithu come to be known to the people in general, King Prithu will always hear about himself and his uniquely powerful activities. I'll read the purport later. Text 27.
Diso vijitya praktirudha chakra. Diso vijitya pratirudra chakra. Sva teja sotpatita loka salya. Svateja sotpatita loka salya. Sura surendra upagiyamana. Sura surendra upagiyamana. Mahanubhavo Pavita Patir Bhuva. Mahanubhavo Pavita Patir Bhuva. Disho Vijitya Pratirudha Chakra. Svateja Sotpatita Loka Salya. Sura surendra upagiyamana. Mahanubhavo pavita patir bhuva. Disho vijitya pratirudha chakra. Svateja sotpatita loka salya. Sura surendra upagiyamana. Mahanubhavo pavita patir bhuva. Disho vijitya pratirudha chakra. Svateja sotpatita loka salya. Sura surendra upagiyamana. Mahanubhavo pavita patir bhuva.
Ladies,
Shri Jitya Pratirudra Chakra.
pages. So, yeah. These are all directions, vijitya, conquering, aparatirudha, without check, chakra, his influence or power, svatejasa, by his own prowess, utpatita, uprooted, lokasalya, the miseries of the citizens, sura, of demigods, asura, of demons, indra, by the chiefs, upagiyamana, being glorified, Maha Anubhava, the great soul, Pavita, he will become, Pati, the Lord, Puva, of the world. Translation and purport by Devangosh Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. No one will be able to disobey the orders of Prithu Maharaj. After conquering the world, he will completely eradicate the threefold miseries of the citizens. Then he will be recognized all over the world. At that time, both the Suras and the Asuras will undoubtedly glorify his magnanimous activities. Purport. At the time of Maharaj Prithu, the world was ruled by one emperor. Although there were many subordinate states, at the time of Maharaj Prithu, the world was ruled by one emperor, although there were many subordinate states. Just as there are many united states in various parts of the world, in olden days, the entire world was ruled through many states, but there was one supreme emperor who ruled over all subsidiary states. As soon as there were some discrepancies in the maintenance of the Vanashram system, the emperor would immediately take charge of the small states. The word utpatita lokasalya indicates that Maharaj Prithu completely uprooted all the miseries of his citizens. The word salya means piercing thorns. There are many kinds of miserable thorns that pierce the citizens of a state. But all competent rulers, even up to the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira, uprooted all the miserable conditions of the citizens. It is stated that during the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira, there did not even exist severe cold or scorching heat, nor did the citizens suffer from any kind of mental anxiety. This is the standard of good government. Such a peaceful and prosperous government, devoid of anxiety, was established by Prithu Maharaj. Thus the inhabitants of both saintly and demoniac planets were all engaged in glorifying the activities of Maharaj Prithu. Persons or nations anxious to spread their influence all over the world should consider this point. If one is able to eradicate completely the threefold miseries of the citizens, he should aspire to rule the world. One should not aspire to rule for any political or diplomatic consideration. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 4th canto, 16th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Praise of King Prithu by the Professional Reciters. I'll just go back to that previous verse. In this way, when the chivalrous activities of King Prithu come to be known to the people in general, King Prithu will always hear about himself and his uniquely powerful activities. Purport. To artificially advertise oneself and thus enjoy a so-called reputation is a kind of conceit. Prithu Maharaj was famous amongst the people because of his chivalrous activities. He did not have to advertise himself artificially. One's factual reputation cannot be covered. अमाग्यनात्मरन्दस्य अग्निनञ्जनशलकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगौरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदमयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकां वन्देहं श्रीगुरु ऋषियुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं सद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादं सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखं वितंश्च हे कृष्ण करुण सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिककान्त राधकान्त नमोऽस्तुते तप्त कञ्चन गौरङ्गे राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरे वृषभानुसृतदेवे प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वञ्चिकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितनं भावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So we're seeing a description of a very different world, a very different reality, very different to what we see today. And Prabhupada is using these words, words also that we don't really hear very much today. Like for instance, Prabhupada in this verse, in text number 26, he's speaking about the chivalrous activities of King Prithu. So who knows what chivalrous means? Anyone tell me? Put your hands up if you know what chivalrous means. Yes. Okay, brave. Yeah. Sorry? Valiant. Heroic. Yeah, this is the kind of, this is, when we hear this word chivalrous, you kind of tend to think of knights, you know, shining knights in armor, brave, heroic, chivalrous, like this. Actually, if you look in the dictionary, the first words that come up in the dictionary are well-mannered, polite, and courteous. It's quite interesting, isn't it? But it's interesting because it's a warrior who is well-mannered, polite, and courteous. So this word gallant, there's chivalrous and gallant is another word we don't hear very much. You don't hear about someone being gallant. So that word gallant has similar meaning. Well-mannered, polite, and courteous. So actually this is what we're talking about. Prabhupada is talking about a race of men that practically doesn't exist anymore. You know, where do you find people who are both powerful, you know, they're very powerful, very strong, fearsome, but at the same time well-mannered, polite, and courteous? It's a rare combination to find. And these men, basically such men are like lions. A lion among men, Prabhupada would sometimes say. And courageous, yet gentle, and gracious. Such a nice combination of qualities. And Prabhupada would say, in a few places I found Prabhupada used this statement, a lamb at home and a lion in the chase. You know, so that means that actually Prabhupada said a Vaishnava should be like a lamb at home. You know, a lamb is a young sheep. You know, lambs are very, if you go to the fields around the springtime and you see the newly born lambs, and they spring around, you know, like this. Like, it's amazing how they move. And they frolic in a very frivolous kind of way. And they're very cute looking. Young lambs that spring around like this, full of energy, very cute and very cuddly. You know, you just want to take them home and cuddle them and stroke them. Nice creatures, lambs. So, you know, Vaishnava is meant to be like that. At home, he's very pleasant to be with, very, you know, submissive, and at the same time sweet, so many ways like that. But when he goes into the preaching field, he's like a lion, roaring, not taking any kind of compromise when it comes to Krishna consciousness, you know, like the sadhu cutting with the sharp knife of knowledge, like a lion, ready to pounce on any misconceptions. So this is a kind of character which is very rare today. Very rare to find somebody who has this combination of powerful, you know, practically speaking like a predator, you know, ruthlessly powerful, but at the same time, when necessary, very kind and mild and sweet and courteous, polite. So it's something actually that really needs to be cultivated. You know, these are the qualities of people who are fit to be rulers. If you don't have these qualities, you're not fit to be a ruler. So how are you going to get these qualities? You know, if people don't have these qualities, how do you get them? So of course, it comes through education. We don't just need to educate children in the ABC, you know, 1, 2, 3, geography, whatever it is, all these different kind of subjects. It's not just about giving knowledge, it's about building character. And people have, there are certain people that have the potential to be like this, to be chivalrous, to be gallant, to be like lambs at home and like lions in the chase. There are people have the potential, but it will only come out if it's consciously drawn out, if it's consciously drawn out through proper education. And then Prabhupada describes in the purport, to artificially advertise oneself and thus enjoy a so-called reputation is a kind of conceit. So conceit is another interesting word. It's described in the dictionary, conceit is excessive self-pride, vanity, snobbery. You know, to be a snob is, you know, you put your nose up and you're very aloof and appear to be, you know, you always put your finger, you make sure you're always picking up the cup, the finger has to be prominent like this. Artificially putting on airs and graces, putting on kind of an appearance of being something special and refined. But in actual fact, you're not special and refined. It's conceit. So, this is very prominent. This kind of mentality, this kind of behavior, that's very prominent in this material world today. And actually, anyone with intelligence, they can see through it. You know, it's not difficult to see through pride, arrogance, snobbery. Intelligent people, they can see through it. The problem is that most people are not very intelligent nowadays. Most people are so self-absorbed, they're so absorbed in their own world, in their own reality, in their own difficulties, that they cannot observe these things in other people. And especially today, because of the fact that we don't have any of this gallantry, because we're not chivalrous in general, we rely so much on hearsay. We rely on news that we get from second or third hand sources, like for instance newspapers. You know, I was reading today, Prabhupada, he was saying it so much about nonsense newspapers. You know, he was saying about how all we need to do is print Bhagavat. He said, but they're cutting so many millions of trees to produce these newspapers. And they're just full of nonsense, you know. But people form their opinions of the world by reading the newspaper. Many people have their entire worldview based on what appears in the newspaper. And this is very unreliable, actually. Our sphere of perception in this age has been expanded by things like newspapers, television, the internet. We get information about things which we shouldn't actually really know about. And that information that we get, that we absorb, gives us a false impression of the world. In general, human beings, you know, we're meant to interact with a certain amount of people in real time, in real life. And when you live in a simple environment and you interact with a certain group of people in that way, then you can begin to see what those people are like, really, because you see them. You
you see them from childhood as they grow. You see their interactions with other people. In that way, one can gain a much more intelligent understanding of who the other people around you are, what their mentalities are, how to deal with them according to their mentality. But because we're so kind of overwhelmed by this overload of information that we get from newspapers and television and internet, etc., etc., we start to form opinions about things which we can't form opinions about because we have no first-hand knowledge. We don't know what people are really like. All we can know is what we read, what is presented to us. And unfortunately, because people are so crooked in this age, you can never know if what's being presented to you is true or it's false. There's no way of knowing it. So there are, you know, a lot of conspiracy theories around in the world today, and it's becoming quite a topic recently, conspiracy theories. Anyone can go on the internet and you can look up these conspiracy theories, and there are so many different sites, and different sites have different levels of conspiracy which they promote as being the real thing, you know. And there is a lot of really wacky stuff, a lot of really crazy kind of theories that come out in terms of what's going on in the world. And of course, all of this, much of it, some of it is based on truth and some of it is based on complete speculation. And of course, most of the people that put out these conspiracy theories, they're materialists. And so in any case, even if they're being objective, they're colored by sense gratification. They're colored by their desires for sense gratification. And so you're not getting the full picture. But of course, it's not difficult. If one has intelligence and one understands human nature, it's not difficult to actually see through what's going on in the world. And conspiracy theory or not, we can understand that in this age where there's almost a complete lack of chivalry, a complete lack of gallantry, people have become corrupted by ignorance. We understand that in Kali Yuga, ignorance is the predominating mode. Everything becomes corrupted and covered by ignorance. So Srila Prabhupada, he was able to see completely through this ignorance. And actually he spoke widely about the ignorance that's going on in the material world, even back in the 60s and 50s, and when he was when he was currently preaching. So there was one nice statement he made in Light of Bhagavat, which I'm going to read for you, and it kind of shows you, it cuts to the essence of what's going on in the world today. Prabhupada said, "Trade is meant only for transporting surplus produce to places where the produce is scanty. But when traders become too greedy and materialistic, they take to large-scale commerce and industry and allure the poor agriculturalist to unsanitary industrial towns with a false hope of earning more money. The industrialist and the capitalist do not want the farmer to remain at home satisfied with his agricultural produce. When the farmers are satisfied by a luxuriant growth of food grains, the capitalist becomes gloomy at heart. But the real fact is that humanity must depend on agriculture and subsist on agricultural produce." I was doing some research on, I teach English in the Gurukul, and we've started to use some material that was produced by Webster, the original Mr. Webster, who made the Webster's Dictionary that now is very famous around the world. So it was curious, I did some research on Mr. Webster, because in some of the lessons he gives on English, he uses farming as a means to explain the English language. And he says, he gives a rationale for using farming terminology. He says, because the fact of the matter is that most people in the world are engaged in agriculture. This was written in 1830, 1840. He was writing this to his audience, which were the educators of the world, you know, the people that were teaching English. So he was explaining that, yeah, the reason why I'm teaching English using farm terminology, you know, talking about farms and farming, is because, let's face the facts, the majority of the people of the world will be involved in agriculture, because that's what we need, that's the basis of everything. And his father, Webster's father, was himself a farmer who had 90 acres of land. And he was farming 90 acres of land. Now it's interesting because nowadays, in general, when people think of farmers, people think of simple, you know, a guy with a piece of straw in his mouth and a kind of a hat with a hole in it, you know, and a pair of dungarees, you know, jeans with holes in. And kind of the tendency, the projection of farmers is, you know, simple guy, doesn't really know very much. But Webster's father, yeah, he farmed 90 acres of land, but he was also the justice of the peace, which basically means he was also the magistrate in the local area. So that's an amazing thing, you know. Here he is, as a farmer that farms 90 acres of land, but he's also the district magistrate. He takes care of the law and order of this, of that place. And the fact of the matter is, actually, that the Vaishyas are actually very aristocratic people. Vaishyas are twice born. They have the upanayana, they get the thread. And they're intelligent, they're philosophically inclined. So, you know, the modern idea is to paint the farmer as being some sort of ignorant person who does a job which is not very desirable. But actually we understand from Prabhupada's purport here and from the reality of life in the past that it's not at all the case. We've been given a false image of the world. Now who has given us this false image of the world, you know? And why are they giving us such a false image of the world? If you read the history books, you'll find stories that the medieval, you know, the medieval age, the way people lived 200, 300, 400, 500 years ago was miserable, you know? It was a miserable life where wicked rulers would continuously exploit the poor citizens, and the people would just be starving, hungry, and living in rags. Now, it may be true that there were a few places where this was going on, and as Kali Yuga has progressed, this has been deliberately arranged. But the fact of the matter is that actually simple living and high thinking, this is the normality that people are supposed to be existing under. And there's no reason why we can't go back to a very happy life like that. But because the industrialists, Prabhupada says, no one can produce rice and wheat in big iron factories. The industrialist goes to the villages to purchase the food grains he is unable to produce in his factory. When food grains are produced abundantly, the farmers become financially stronger, and thus the capitalist becomes morose at being unable to exploit them. So Prabhupada understood, you know, Prabhupada wrote this, actually, this Light of the Bhagavat was written in the 50s, as far as I understand. And back then, Prabhupada saw exactly through the exploits of the industrialists, of the capitalists. And of course, since then, they've consolidated their power more and more and more, to such a degree that they've created a whole, you know, many of these industrialists and capitalists are now the owners of the big universities in the world. They're the ones that actually decide what will be taught in university. And so they are in a position whereby they can just bewilder everyone and illusion everyone into thinking that what we have now, the 20th century reality, we've never had it so good. This is the propaganda, you know. We've never had it so good. You know, everybody is comfortable in a nice air-conditioned or heated home with a nice car and, you know, good movies, fantastic media, you know, TVs and cinema complexes. You know, we've never had it so good. Everything is really wonderful. And this is the kind of propaganda that they want everyone to think. They want everyone to think that we're progressing into this rosier and rosier future. And yet, everybody is in debt, practically speaking. Who isn't in debt in this material world nowadays? Practically everybody is in debt, either in a mortgage of their house or the payments on their car. And when you are in debt, you can never be peaceful. And of course, the other side of it is unemployment is becoming more and more. So even, you know, you have a nice, comfortable situation, but if you lose your job, you lose everything. And then you're on the street. You have nothing and nowhere to go. And more, this is going on. We're finding this. So, and these chivalrous people, these knights in shining armor who are supposed to come and save us and protect us, where are they? Who is going to come and save us? Who is protecting us? We're being betrayed at every moment by these demons, actually. And it's amazing when you read this purport. Prabhupada speaks about how the demons will glorify King Prithu because of his management of the kingdom or of the world. So that we can understand that the demons that Prabhupada is speaking about were far superior to the demons we get today. Because at least they could appreciate when someone was doing something right. Whereas the demons of today just have nothing going for them. They have no good qualities whatsoever. And everyone is being cheated on a massive scale. So I came across a conversation. Srila Prabhupada was speaking to Bhakti Swarup Damodara Maharaj before he was sannyasi. And he was saying, Swarup Damodara at that time, he was saying that they were discussing about the cheating of the world, and he was saying, this cheating has been going on since time immemorial. So perhaps they think they can continue forever. And Prabhupada says, not since time immemorial. This cheating's not been going on since time immemorial. Science has been cheating people for only the past 200 or 300 years, not before that. And then Swarup Damodara says, oh really? And Prabhupada said, yes. For the last 200 years they have been preaching that life comes from matter, not for thousands of years. And the cheating will be finished within 50 years. And so Prabhupada said this to Swarup Damodara back in the 1970s, you know, probably 73, 74. So that 50-year limit is coming up in the next 12 to 15 years. And it's actually interesting because we can see that, especially through the work of Dhritakarma Prabhu, his influence is becoming very wide. And many people are beginning to lose their faith in the so-called scientists and in the theories of the scientists. And even recently there was this whole global warming propaganda which was exposed as being a lot of cheating going on. So Prabhupada says this cheating will be finished within 50 years. So the deadline is coming up and we see that we're progressing quite nicely on the agenda that Srila Prabhupada laid out. And then Swarup Damodara says, yes, now people are rebelling against science. So even back in the 70s, people were rebelling against science. And Prabhupada says, and what is that science? It is not science, it is ignorance. Ignorance is passing for science. But this cheating cannot go on for long because some people are becoming intelligent. So we can understand that this intelligence, we have to become intelligent, we have to understand, we have to take the trouble to look at source material. You know, Srila Prabhupada has given us so much source material. We don't need to look at conspiracy theories to understand what's going on in the world. And the solutions Prabhupada is giving us, the solutions also, very nicely. And the main part of the solution is that we have to become human beings. We actually have to become what we hear. If we, you know, people may say so many things, but if we haven't heard it or if we haven't seen it ourselves firsthand from that person, we should distrust that information. And only if we happen to come into the association of that person